Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that likes to work the grill. As soon as you walk in the house, it's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chandler, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Our number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the Fan, or youtube.com/1080AM, the Fan. Party on, party people on the YouTube stream. All right, let's get to it. We have Colin Cowherd just tweeted out that he is being told that former Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaliava is heading to UCLA. Family still claims it's not about the money. It's about the Vols football offense. And so we're going to bring on right now former University of Tennessee quarterback, host of the Eric Ainge Show, and Glencoe High School alum. Eric Ainge joining us. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're doing a lot better than Vols fans have been on social media lately. I can tell you that much.
Dude, the whole thing is crazy. Yeah, okay. Can I address what you just said about Colin Cowherd?
Yeah.
Okay. The latest in Nico Gate, right? Okay, he's going to go to UCLA. First off, that's a train wreck. His younger brother Madden was going to go there, and on signing day, flipped to Arkansas, took their best receiver, and went to Arkansas. So I guess it's an upgrade if they get Nico over Madden, because Madden's not any good. But the whole thing you just said, it's not about the money. It's about the Vols offense. Dude, this whole NIL thing, and you guys can address this too. I like that the players get paid. Get some money. Make some money. You provide a ton of value. Look at how much those skyboxes go for in Autzen and Neyland Stadium and all that. That's fine. It's about the power. Mm-hmm. If you don't, then I will this. If you don't change a play caller, if you don't recruit this player, then I will. These players and some of their parents, the crazy ones, they think they invented football. They know more than all these coaches. And you end up with situations like this. Big Nick Iamaliava he coached some Pop Warner and some 7-on-7 when Nico wore pajamas, so he thinks he knows more than Josh Heupel. Give me a break.
Yeah, that's the big thing that's kind of come out of this, is that we've had the fears of LeVar Ball and, Caleb Williams' dad and these dads that are overpowering. And there's been a lot of fear mongering about, their involvement with their sons. But those guys, we've kind of all seen that it actually is in the best interest of what their kids are eventually going to do. This one seems a little bit different in that Nico's dad is really just meddling for the sake of meddling, and it doesn't have his son's best interest in mind.
That's the problem, though. He thinks it does.
Right.
I mean, he thinks he's doing the right thing. You need to – but this goes back to in the middle of last season, you know, and being here in Knoxville, I know all and see all and hear all from everybody. Half of it's true and half of it's not, but I hear it all. And it was the if you don't fix the tackle play and the offensive line play, I'm shopping Nico at the end of the year. Like, hold on. How about if Nico gets the ball out of his hand and learns how to read a defense a little bit better, then he won't take so many sacks and those guys will look a little bit better. If you don't fix the offense, I'm shopping Nico at the end of the year. I've never seen a play caller get guys open downfield more than Josh Heupel. Even last year, Nico missed him all year. Yeah. Milton the year before missed him. Hendon Hooker didn't miss him. And he was about to be a Heisman finalist. If you just hit the open ones with Josh Heupel, it's amazing what your stats are. They hosted no blame. They just blame everyone. We've all been around athletes like that and families where it's always ever someone else's fault and they've never done anything wrong and their boy's perfect. And we were living that here in Knoxville. Now we're not.
Eric, how do you – obviously, you've got deep ties to not just the university, but, you know, as a quarterback for that program, and you played in huge games there, and you know kind of what it is to be in that spot. And even as different a landscape as it is now, how do you try to impart on not just Nico, but on literally any quarterback that comes through there that, hey, if you're successful here, you're pretty likely to go on to the next level and – maybe learning to develop here is probably a little bit better than going to a program like UCLA that doesn't have their stuff together, or the rumors were like a Tulane, or a program that is significantly further behind Tennessee, and not just profile, but a development pipeline to get to the next level.
If you were going to drop a program for a quarterback going into a draft year to have some studs to throw to and a bunch of good players around him with an offensive play caller who can draw him up in the dirt and scheme guys open is good or better than anyone, him and Lane Kiffin and maybe a couple others in all of college football, this is one of the schools and coaching staffs you would pick. Yeah. You would, and he was here making $2 million. Then he made 2.4 because him and his family said, we're not going to play in the bowl game unless we renegotiate. And they got a little bit more money. And here's how this works. And I don't know how it is at Oregon and different places, but here, you know, there was a few power players here that paid almost all of Nico's money. And they were just like all of us fans going, I mean, he's good. He's fine. But, you know, the three of us are paying $2 million, you know, $1.8 million a year for this guy.
Yeah.
So like, and, you know, and that gets, I mean, like an investment, right? We all have them and we all spend money. Like, if you're not getting what you think you ought to get for it, so then what? You call those same guys back and say, Nico's not going to play if we don't pay him more money. And they budge a little, and then you go back 2 days before the orange and white game and say, hey, actually 2.4 is not enough. I mean, at some point, Heupel and the power players here are like, no, just go anywhere else and go to UCLA and play for Deshaun Foster in front of 1,200 fans and travel across the country and get your butt kicked. Good luck.
I'm happy that it was a program like Tennessee, though, that took the stand and did it because of, you know, the stature of the program, the fact that it's not a collective that is a mess and in tatters and has had the issues of not being able to pay guys. It is, no, we are going to just take a stand because this isn't the right one. You have gone through this, Eric, in Knoxville, where it means a lot. You guys have four rivals, right? You have Florida, Georgia, Bama, and then Vandy. Last year, Nico beat three of those four rivals. Can you put that into perspective for our listeners of like what that means to the fan base moving forward, that you get that in last year, you go to the college football playoff and kind of what he's giving up? Because it means a whole heck of a lot to be able to beat three of those four in 1 year.
No, it's everything. I mean, Florida, Alabama, or Georgia is a game we play where we just stereotype and make fun of news stories from those states. I mean, we hate them, and he beat them. Now, you can go back and look at that and say he did throw four touchdowns against Vanderbilt, but he threw none against Georgia, one against Bama, none against Florida. Nico didn't get a lot of the credit around here, and I guess that was part of the problem with some of the narcissists in his family. What, defense and run game? won football games for us here last year. I actually loved Heupel for it. I was like, you know, he had stats guys that were never won a game where he scores less than 30 points. Can't win on the road and all those kind of things. And I thought he took a huge step as a head coach here. You've watched Lanning do the same thing at Oregon, just doing things. And hey, you know what? That's not necessarily on brand for him, but that's what football coaches that win at a high level every year and compete for championships do. Hey, I got a bunch of studs on defense and a couple running backs no one could tackle. Why don't we lean on that and put some kid gloves on the freshman quarterback? But instead he just, you know, it's, I don't know. Nico being gone, guys, we are not a more talented team without him. I'm not going to say that. Oh, he's gone. I'm glad. No, I wish he never would have got to that, but I think that was inevitable, and it'll be that way as long as his family's in charge. We're not as talented, but maybe we have a better football team.
Kind of on that note, when Josh Pate yesterday said something along the lines of he wants what's best for college football, and he thinks that there's not enough guardrails, and there's just, you know, somebody has to come in and do something. My counter to that is this is the system working, in that it's not just at Tennessee. You had Mario Cristobal come out and say, you know, if you want to renegotiate, you're not going to be here kind of a situation. This feels like this is the system working, as ugly as it is. The major outliers, the things that everybody is kind of scared of, and it's not good for Tennessee, like you just said. It puts you at a talent deficit. But do you look at this and this is the system working in a sense?
No, I mean, I think, can you repeat the last part of the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, like, does this feel like that? There's this push to put a lot of guardrails around college sports and where money is at. But this feels like this is, without the guardrails, this is the system working, because everybody's basically telling him to, you know, kick rocks.
You know, I'm sure you guys talk about it all the time, but it's we need a CBA. Well, you can't. They're not employees. Mm-hmm. We need to make them employees. Well, what a nightmare. You know, like, the whole thing, like, maybe the market recorrection needed was a school like Tennessee with a head coach like Josh Heupel and a head coach like Dan Lanning to say, hey, dude, you know, this is going on. Yeah, that's crazy, right? I'm out. You know, all these other coaches go, no, we're not doing that. And make a stand not to go pay him $4 million and bring him in because they're desperate. Because that's what they think. They think that these players think that if they put their name in the portal, even though they have a great situation with everything right in front of them, you know, you have your value out of high school, your value as a current roster player, wherever you are, and then your value when you're in the portal. And usually the portal value is higher because there's someone desperate to pay you a little more. And we're seeing now, hey, that's not maybe the case. Maybe your situation is good. Maybe you don't have to, you know, go the employee route. You just have to have the big dogs in college football like Dan and Josh and all the big guys around to say, no, we're not doing that. Sorry, dude.
Where does Tennessee go from here? Was it Jake Merklinger is the backup, and then George McIntyre, a true freshman? What does that quarterback room look like, and are they going to be trying to pull someone out of the portal in the next week or so?
Well, first off, boys, I think it'd be hilarious if they went and paid somebody $4 million to come in and be the quarterback.
Yes, it would.
Let's just do that. I mean, that'd be fun. That'd be funny. But it has to be someone with the charisma, moxie, humility, hardworking, and physical ability to come in and be that guy here. Because you're kind of, we have a weird thing, you know. It's kind of like the high school, like, you know, the old Dusty Hara in high school, Eric Ainge at Glencoe High School. We can treat it like that, where it's like, hey, you guys are enough. You know, we'll ride with whoever we got at quarterback. Mm-hmm. We're a good football team. Let's go. You have a chance to, like, maybe be that kind of corny, make a Netflix series out of it someday approach to football here. But if you go pay a big quarterback to come in, that's probably smarter. I don't know how good either one of these guys will be, but you know what? As a fan and an alum and a fellow UT quarterback, I'm willing to find out. Let's find out how good they are. But if you can, yeah. I mean, obviously, you always want the most talented team you can. Go see what's out there.
Eric, in the age of NIL, you're intimately familiar with my co-host here. What is prime Dusty Hara getting in the NIL market?
Prime Dusty Hara is probably getting decent money because he had a heck of a quarterback.
That's right. That's right.
Your old buddy Angie might have got him a payday. But you want to hear Dusty's best life? My dad was our basketball coach in elementary school, and Dusty actually was Kobe before Kobe. He shot a helicopter shot.
You're damn right. That turnaround jumper.
Facing the other hoop, no clue where the hoop is, jump, turn, and I'll be darned if he didn't hit it every once in a while.
Every once in a while is the key one. We actually brought Doug up earlier because Zach Edey, 7'4", brings the ball down so low on rebounds. And I was like, Doug Ainge would have none of that. He would say, keep those elbows high, and you got to make sure you're sending a message.
You know, and I actually think before people yelled Kobe when they shot it, they yelled Hera. Fuck it.
Except for that was for never going in. Yeah. Hey, all right, man. It's been great to catch up with you. We need to do it again soon. Life is good, though. I know there's a lot of people that are listening that just want to know what Eric is up to these days.
So Eric just got 12-year-old Fallon a sports physical because she's a little travel volleyball player. Let's go. You already know Thomas Douglas, 8 months old, known as TD Ainge here in Knoxville. You already know what the hand size he's got. I mean, we're talking splitters, curves, fastballs. He'd be slinging it everywhere.
Little D1, baby.
Has the offer already come through? Has Heupel written the scholarship offer for him yet?
No, you know, Heupel needs to get his act together, but Tony Vitello, leading the reigning national champions, my wife Susan and I had TD over at a golf tournament. I said, hold him, take a picture. So he grabs me and goes, man, look at those hands. I said, that's what I'm saying.
You know he's going to be able to throw. He's going to be able to sling it. Let's go.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on, man.
All right, buddy. Boys. We appreciate you. Thank you for the time, man.
See you.
There is Eric Ainge on Nico and the Tennessee situation.
You missed that on some NIL, man.
Dude, I did. I did. And, you know, I'll be damned. Your quarterback really does help you.
Super helpful. Super helpful.
But, you know, it's interesting to hear him talk about, like, the squandered opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, he was in such a good spot.
Just blinders. Just horse blinders,
had
man.
No idea, except for the people around him wanted more money. And he didn't look at his production. He didn't look at the opportunities that are available. And the opportunities that are available there, like Peyton freaking Manning.
Yes.
He is actively engaged with any quarterback that is at the University of Tennessee. You have the ability to learn from not just Manning, but your head coach, Josh Heupel, pretty damn good quarterback in his own right. And you have every resource available to you there.
This is what I mean. And this is
crazy.
Become a big question in college basketball too, because of how much money is involved. There's a lot of talk right now about AJ DeBonta going to BYU, getting his bag. And like, I'll be blunt. He did not look good all week at Hoop Summit. Now he went out in the game. It was just an absolute monster. But there's a lot of folks are wondering, did he go full RJ Barrett? Did he get a little bit of money and now he's happy? And it's not just that part of it. It's like situationally.
You know, it's interesting you say that because yesterday the Bussin' with the Boys guys released an interview with Dan Lanning. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of really good clips. And I had Russ pull one clip from not when Lanning was on, but before. And it's identifying those guys as a really tough thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where the money isn't going to change you. And there was one clip that kind of stood out to me. And I want to play that for people next because there is a greater holistic approach to when you build these rosters in the NIL landscape. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
All right, good conversation we just had with Eric Ainge, former Tennessee quarterback. I mean, more notably, my high school quarterback. And the Nico Iamaleava stuff.
Sounds like he owes you some money.
I think he does.
Yeah.
No, I'd probably owe him some. I know I owe him some. But he hosts a radio show now in Knoxville and talking about the Nico stuff and kind of the priorities of the player are such a big issue with some of the guys in NIL. And we had this discussion yesterday of, you know, you never know. It used to be in the NBA. And when I mentioned this yesterday, like in the NFL, NBA, it was like, you never know what you're getting because you're going to draft a kid. And then all of a sudden he's got, you
know, more money he's ever known.
Seven figures, eight figures in his bank account, and he's never been there before. He doesn't know what that life is like.
And it derails a lot more people than you actually hear about.
And it's going to derail a lot of college kids, too. And that's why it's like the greatest advantage for the NBA and the NFL to have NIL, because now that known is gone, especially for the high-end players. But everybody, and we hear this all the time with a lot of the top NIL schools, right? And you hear it a lot surrounding Oregon, where it is, oh, they just go out and they pay the best player. But every time you hear Dan Lanning talk about their recruiting process or Marshall Malko talk about their recruiting process, it always starts with the talent evaluation. Like if they're getting their tape, it's because they're talented,
right? It's gone through the process.
And when you hear these guys, when you hear their process of evaluating talent, they always say, do they like to compete? They find ways to kind of get out of a guy. How much do you like to compete? The other one is, do they continue to want to learn, right? Like those two things. And like, do you want to be a sponge as far as the knowledge of football in your position? The Bussin' with the Boys guys, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, they went to Oregon last week and They started to roll out all their videos of stuff of Will Compton getting cooked in a one-on-one drill. And that, which, coincidentally, I saw it on, it came up on the reels there. They had a referee walking by. I went to high school with that referee that walked right by Taylor Lewan or Will Compton in the tunnel before he went out there. But Lewan on the podcast before Lanning came on, one of their producers said, hey, they were asking you a lot of questions. And this is what Taylor Lewan said about Oregon and his interactions with the offensive line room.
Cool. Dude, so curious. Those guys, yeah.
That part was cool.
Yeah, how they're like, how did you do this or that? Like, even when we're at practice the next day.
Dude just comes up to you, hey, what do you do here?
Yeah, how do you get out of your set faster? And which I love that question, too, because I had myself a couple of little nuggets. Yeah,
one of your strengths. You can see you were dialed in when it comes to like actual like, hey, how do you do with your feet kind of thing. Like you were to see this is what I did. And then you can, like, the players being so locked in on you was actually, like, really cool to watch.
But I got, like, multiple DMs from those guys just being like, hey, I appreciate you just coming out and helping us out. Like, it is. And then we just had the conversation about Nico, right? And that went the way it went. And then you go to Oregon. These kids are, like, hungry for knowledge.
Yeah.
Their culture is incredible at Oregon. So, yeah, that was it was cool to sit there. And I told them all, I was like, listen, you have to know your body type. You have to know your strengths. These are my strengths. This is what I did to, like, you know, highlight those a little bit. It might not be for you, but this is what I did. And they were about it, bro. It was awesome.
That's a guy, they go around to several camps. Mm-hmm. In spring practices and stuff like that. And it's that little extra in that evaluation. All these coaches, they've got to be aware of who they're bringing in. And who, because when you do that and you get these guys that are sponges or love just the competition aspect of it, a lot of the ancillary stuff goes away. And this isn't to say that Josh Heupel isn't doing that, but you've got to be on it, especially when you're getting your quarterback, because that's the leader of your entire team. He's the culture setter for a football team.
And if you look at this on the college basketball side, that's the one of the great things about the Nike Hoop Summit being in our backyard every year is I get this opportunity to not only talk to the players, but talk to scouts, GMs, assistant GMs, player personnel directors, up and down the board. And one of the biggest discussions this year as NIL has really taken hold in college basketball is when you talk about guys that are late first, early second round guys in the past, so many of them are opting to go back to college, not only because their money is guaranteed there, because if you look like a two-way, you're looking at, like, I think it's like $800,000 and it's not guaranteed. Where if you're a all-league player at a high major in college basketball, you're looking at basically that same money, $800,000 to $1 million, depending on where you go. Like, if you're an all-league player. And what these evaluators all told me was, we get to see how these guys not only do at a higher competition level, like, yeah, that matters in the scouting process, but we get to see how these guys act as leaders when the lights are shined on them. We get to see how they act with money in their pockets. We get to see all the other stuff beyond just the evaluation, and it works out so much better for us because we find out so much about guys. Because, like, there's a guy coming in this draft right now that is a top 10 lottery pick that I have had people ask me so many different questions about him, and they're like, we don't trust him. It's some of the worst intel I've heard on somebody in 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, and they're just good. Like, and you're probably going to see him fall on draft night because of it. And it's just like, you just kind of scratch your head over this stuff. And the same thing with Nico. And you're just like, these guys, and I don't know if it's the people around, and more often than not, it's the people around them. And I'm not just saying this to excuse the kids, but you're 17, 18, 19 years old. You're dumb.
You're going to be influenced.
And look, you get the one in a million types, and fortunately for Duke, they're going to get two in a row in Cooper Flagg and Cam Boozer. But they came from families and, you know, business plans and units around them, while very different because Cam Boozer is Carlos Boozer's son, as well as Cade Boozer, like, knows the NBA lifestyle.
I'm feeling money won't change him.
No, but Cooper Flagg wasn't the richest kid on the face of the planet, but he came from, you know, good means. There's no doubt about that. But he had it. And yeah, the talent's there, but it's all the other intrinsic stuff. And that was a given with those guys. But when you get beyond those guys, whether it's in college football or college basketball, or whatever sport it is, it's so much less known. And you talk about all of these top prospects. It's like Dylan Harper going to Rutgers. There's ties there. You knew why he went to Rutgers. He's also Ron Harper's son. He had all of the intrinsic little things. Contrast that with his teammate, Ace Bailey. Why the hell are you going to Rutgers? It did not put you in the best position. You went because of the money. And now there's all of these questions about Ace's mental maturity. And I don't say that as like a negative thing, is in the sense of like he's this horrible person, because he's not. He's a nice, jovial, joking around, good kid.
And by the way, he's not the player that you're talking about with the bad intel.
No. And with him, it's like the maturity.
Yeah.
And it should be a maturity question because he's 19 freaking years old. Like, most kids aren't like Cooper and Dylan or Bo Nix after 5 years in college, like, where you've just had so much time to go through everything.
Or Dylan Gabriel.
Or Dylan. But that's kind of
right?
My point.
Yeah.
The time gives you that opportunity.
It absolutely does.
And even, look, the book is not written on Nico. He may, he may like LaMelo, Lonzo Ball this, where their dad was a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, not a problem to where that like it was so disruptive as it is with Nico, but look, there's a lot of talk that the big baller brand shoes might have ruined Lonzo Ball's legs.
Yeah.
And like that stuff, like that was bad, obviously. But both of those guys distanced themselves, and LaMelo still has his issues.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that if Nico does go to UCLA that he can't figure it out and get away from some of that stuff. But I tell you right now, every evaluator in the NFL that's looking at him is going, yeah, none of this is good.
Yeah. And look, but Colin Cowherd is saying that Nico to UCLA is a done deal. I don't know how accurate that is. But this we have a comment on the YouTube stream. Did you see what Urban Meyer said about the Tennessee thing? I did. Here's what Urban Meyer said on Nico Iamaliava's departure from Tennessee. Quote, Tennessee is screwed. They got a problem. Everybody's saying, nice job, Tennessee, making a stand. I've got a little comment on that. Tennessee plays Florida usually every year in October. Can you imagine that game's going to go the other way and Coach Heupel grabs the microphone and stands on the 50-yard line in Neyland Stadium and says, it's okay, I made a stand way back when, end quote.
I mean, there's a little bit of Florida arrogance coming out in Herb there, but it's also not entirely wrong.
Okay, but this is also the issue with Urban Meyer leaving a disaster behind him everywhere he's gone. Mm-hmm. With Urban Meyer, it was he is one of the coaches where the sliding scale of talent to
stuff
off-field issues. Just go look at who was on the team, his Florida Gators teams, right? And to sit there and say that Urban Meyer honestly can look somebody in the eye and go, you know what? No, after all of this at Tennessee, Nico would have been able to walk into that locker room and lead that room.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
The reason it worked for Herb is because of who his quarterback was.
Yeah.
That's why.
The choir boy.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow.
The amount of good you had to offset every last bit of absolute insanity on your team was staggering.
But Urban Meyer, his comment is Tennessee is screwed. You're right. There's a little bit of that Florida arrogance. That is a bitter rivalry between Florida and Tennessee. And this is where that whole, like, he's written books on leadership, Urban Meyer has. He is a guy that can make it work just long enough. But it's also been to the detriment of his own health, right? He had to step away twice because of his heart.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a lot of stress when you're doing that. There is a different way to do it. I, for one, I am for the way that Tennessee is handling it. And look, if Josh Heupel ends up losing games this year, yeah, Tennessee fans are going to be pissed. They're going to be pissed. But at this point, he did need to dig his heels in. And what Eric was saying to us was, it wasn't just him. It was the people that were cutting those checks going, what are we paying for?
Yeah.
Like, we're really going to pay for 2,600 yards? We're really going to pay for a guy who threw four touchdown passes in our three rivalry games that we won? And all of them were against Vanderbilt? You know, like, no. It's not, the juice is not worth the squeeze. So, it's a really interesting conversation to have, and this is the first. It will not be the last.
God, no. All right, coming up next on our worst in the web, beware strong winds. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with a Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time, they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks.
Today's worst day on the web is a weather advisory.
Oh, tell me more.
Headline reads, stay indoors or risk being blown away. China warns light people. Not a burden I have to deal with. And they actually did specify, if you weigh under 110 pounds,
okay,
you should stay indoors or risk being blown away by winds over 90 miles an hour.
I think that's a good alert. I mean, the advisory to stay indoors light people, boy, that's a dicey way to phrase that one. But at the same time, I think it's fair. Under 110 pounds, with 90-mile-an-hour winds, where in the hell are 90-mile-an-hour winds in China? Obviously on the coast?
No, I don't actually think this was. This was, God, again, I lost it. It's through from Beijing, Tianjin, and Hebei, which is a little bit, it's not on the coast, but it's a little further inland. But I was doing the math on this. So it's somewhere between 40 and 45 miles an hour that is necessary to knock over a 110-pound person.
90-mile-an-hour winds are hurricane-force winds.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it is kind of funny that they were like, if you're skinny, stay inside. If you're a hefty Chinese person, you're cool.
We have a center of gravity test, and it's if you're low center of gravity, you're good.
Look, if you go to some countries in Asia, there are fence posts that have varying widths on them. And there's a restaurant in, I want to say it's South Korea. Sorry if I'm getting this wrong. But like if you turn sideways and you can squeeze through it, depending on how skinny you are, you get a discount on food.
Boy, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen in the States.
Yeah, buddy. It's full on fat shaming. And there's one in Japan on this mountain path. I don't think it's Mount Fuji.
Is that like at an all you can eat buffet? Because that could be a dicey one too, because you would think a guy like Joey Chestnut would
he's a skinny man.
Yeah, he'd slide right through.
Kobayashi then, too. Kobayashi's a skinny little dude.
They'll eat you right out of business.
I think it was just like a 20% off or 25% off on the skinniest or something like that. But it also has for like a seriously wide gate, which I would partake in. Sorry, no discount.
Oh man.
Yeah, well, joke's on them because we're harder to kidnap.
Yeah, it's true.
And you're not going to get blown away by the wind.
That's right.
I'm going to add that to my list of things that being larger will keep me from, you know.
Yeah.
I think of all of us, Sprague's the only one in danger.
Of getting blown away by the wind? Yeah. I wonder what he's weighing in now. I bet he's like a buck 70, maybe?
Yeah.
Buck 70?
Thankfully, he's a little taller, so he's got a little more room.
Yeah. I mean, he's lanky, though. Yeah. I mean, if the wind catches him up top, he may go down.
He may go.
You know?
I mean, doesn't have to deal with that. He's got the low center of gravity.
Yeah. I would have been a prime candidate a few years ago.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I got nubs for legs, and I'm plenty hefty, so I'm not going anywhere. I'm hurricane-proof.
Yeah. I think our show's doing well in a hurricane. Yeah, we'll be okay.
We'll be okay in a hurricane.
Well, yeah,
we float. We're buoyant.
Just
windproof.
Fine. We'll be just
fine. It's the other objects we're in. And that's where we deal with issues. The other airborne objects.
Yeah. You duck, dodge, dive, dip.
Yeah. You got to make sure you can dodge a wrench.
Oof. Well.
But I read this and I'm like, this has to be fake. And I'm like, nope,
it's
there's
very
real. There's a full-on national alert.
But 90-mile-an-hour winds is significant, though.
Yeah, no, that's no joke. There's one more I got to work in here. In a tennis match yesterday,
no boy,
a tennis player halted the match and asked her opponent to put on deodorant because she stank so bad.
Oh boy.
And I think I saw that she went out and proceeded to lose 6-love, 6-3.
Yeah.
Well,
the one that complained about the deodorant.
Obviously, they were in her head.
I guess.
You know?
And her nose.
And her nose. Yeah, I saw this, and now she has since apologized. Harriet Dart.
Mm.
Has now, it's, I'm sure this is a heartfelt apology. She's saying sorry and no counties. I want to apologize for what I said on the court today. It was a heat of the moment comment that I truly regret. That's not how I want to carry myself. And I take full responsibility. I have a lot of respect, for Lois and how she competed today. I'll learn from this and move forward.
Here's my question. How allegedly stinky was this tennis opponent where it was noticeable on an
Lois
open tennis court?
Boisson.
Yeah, and you hit it with the right accent.
Mm-hmm.
If you look, I'm going to stereotype to live in hell here. If you've not been to France, you don't understand. Get on public transit in France. It will violate your nose in a way that you do not know is possible.
And that's in an enclosed space. We're talking like an open tennis court here.
Brother, Paris stinks. It's stanky. It is so nasty. Mm. It like I don't know if I have a stronger nose than the average person, but like the number of times that my gag reflex popped up because of somebody's just rank body odor in France numbered in the thousands.
Oh,
just
wow.
A whole lot of ugh. Like I mentioned this off air to you when I read this story. I was in line behind somebody at the grocery store yesterday. I had to take 3-4 steps back from them because they smelled so bad.
Stinky.
And it was just like, it wasn't somebody that was down on their luck.
Yeah.
Just very normal looking person. But they walked by me once in the store and I was like, oh, good God.
Like, sometimes gets you, man.
And then they got in front of me in line and I was just like, oh, it is you. Like, that's horrid. What is that? So my first thought is old, was it Harriet?
Yep, Harriet.
She was downwind.
Yeah.
Probably downwind.
Look, I think that she was trying to get in the head of her opponent.
You alternate sides, though, every two games in tennis.
Well, that first one, she might have been downwind, and it was...
Can you tell her to wear deodorant? Because that smell. Can you tell her to wear deodorant? She smells really bad. That was the comment that she made to the referee. What did the referee... But what did the referee say to her?
I can't find that anywhere.
Yeah. All I've been able to dig up is that it was inaudible what the referee was saying in response. But boy, that's a brutal one, man. That's tough living right there.
It's, I mean, Well, maybe the ref was French too and was like, what smell?
And look, this goes back to the British and French rivalry going on here. And everybody look, says that American tourists are a-holes.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
Yeah.
Look, I fully admit it and embrace it. And you go over there culturally ignorant to things.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's countries around the world that they don't believe in the use of deodorant or apparently showers.
Yeah, well.
Everybody, look,
deodorant and showers, it's not like they're Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, well, again.
They exist.
Culture, man. It's a real thing. And like, look, I think I've said this before in the travels around the world. Everybody romanticizes Paris. It is the stinkiest, nastiest, dirtiest major city in the world.
Oh.
It is. You got to remember. It's
New Orleans is up there, too.
Yeah, it is, but it doesn't.
Not the same.
Paris is like, Paris has the oldest indoor plumbing in the world.
Yeah.
And when, like, remember we had the Seine River with the poo in the river?
Yeah, that's for the Olympics.
That's because when the original indoor plumbing gets flooded, like if they get a big rain, it just comes out.
Ugh.
And it's just, you put that with the general stankiness of the public.
Yeah.
And it knows no bounds.
No.
Man, woman, young, old, cross race, everybody's stanky.
Yeah.
It is just a pungent aroma in Paris. Yeah. Yeah, you'll get there, and trust me, the romantic side of it will disappear very quickly when you get hit with that smell.
All right.
So, speaking of stinky, the Pittsburgh Pirates, ooh, very, very stinky. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Dusty, where would you put Paul Skeens in the pantheon of stars in baseball right now? Top five?
Well... Boy, that's a tough one.
Top 10?
He'll be top. I'd put him squarely in the top 10. He's probably top 5 just because of the fact that he's got a super hot girlfriend, social media darling that she is. And he's throws gas, going through a little bit of a rough patch. But yeah, top 5. I'd put him in that top 5. Yeah.
You would think that the Pirates would be in better position, but their fan base not doing too great.
Uh-oh.
Just in general, up and down the board. If you look at where they are being overlooked in the crazy world of terrible ownership because the A's and the Rays exist. But the sell the team Bob chants are raining down on the Pirates, what, 2.5 weeks into the season.
And this is the crazy part, is that there's an article up right now by Travis Sochik, who used to cover the team, and now he's just covering like overall baseball stuff. And so he's been reaching out to, you know, all, people that cover the Pirates and has been watching from afar as to kind of how everything is going there. Because if you notice something about even Paul Skeens home starts, there's empty seats everywhere. They're estimating that Paul Skeens, one of the best pitchers in baseball.
You can make an argument for him being the best pitcher in baseball.
Had about 5,000 fans in attendance for his last start.
And it's not just like, oh, he's a great pitcher. Like, you might be looking at a generational guy that's one of the best to ever do it.
So if you want to take that, and we know that the Pirates don't spend a lot of money. And they perennially, I think they have the 26th.
They have the 26th
payroll right now.
And they have ranked 26th or lower in 17 of the last 19 seasons.
And to think about that, and that 19 seasons coincides with the ownership of the Nutting
Bob
family.
Nutting. Yeah.
And opening day, apparently they have like a spiral walking case that goes up from like the main concourse all the way up to the upper deck. And he went up, the owner went up that, the spiral staircase where there's no ins or outs. You're just walking up this thing that goes all the way up to the upper deck. And during that walk, people were yelling at him, sell the team, you're a terrible owner, going at him on opening day. He thought it was going to be like a stroll in the ballpark. Like right now, Bob Nutting is going down the road of rookie of the year, the owner and rookie of the year, who, when they're like, hey, we're going to go down to the seats, he's like, what are you, crazy? Going down with the fans? They have turned completely. Skeens went on the Pat McAfee Pittsburgh whatever
extravaganza.
Yeah, the I show.
Yeah.
Where he was on a stage with Sidney Crosby, Ben Roethlisberger, and Paul Skeens. Mm-hmm. Like the who's who of Pittsburgh sports right now. When they announced Paul Skeens, the entire 12,000 people in the arena were just chanting, sell the team. Like, they're putting their star player in a position where he's just like, dude, this is supposed to be like a fun night.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here? And it's starting to boil over because now it's all like every little thing is adding up mm-hmm. more and more and more. And, you know, Sochik points out in this article that it's incredible, but the most lucrative deal ever handed out to a player.
This isn't just him. This is in Pirates history.
Yeah, but I mean, 19 years is when deals really, 19 years ago, the deals started going.
But even then.
But the largest free agent contract was handed out in 2015 to Francisco Liriano, which is a three-year, $39 million deal.
As a point of reference, Shohei Ohtani is making $70 million a year.
That, I mean, you could just go right now and look up, like, what guys are making
per year. I bet you there's
per year.
25 players in baseball that are making more than that this year.
And yeah. Yeah, I bet there are, too. Let's see. Rankings. Salary players. Player rankings. Let's see here. Well, no, it's not allowing me into Spot Track today. So you go Juan Soto, obviously. He's up there. Come on now. Highest paid players. Juan Soto is getting $121.9 million this year. Blake Snell at 64. You go down. So was it $39 million? There are...
3 year, $39 million.
Yeah, but just this
just
year.
Just the raw number, yeah.
Just for this year, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players that are making that just this year alone. And then you got guys like Mike Trout, who's making 35. Anthony Rendon making 38. Garrett Cole makes 36. Oh, Garrett Cole, former Pittsburgh Pirate, right?
Ding, ding, ding.
You get a lot of guys, and Otani's numbers are all wonky because he's only getting paid $2 million this year.
Yeah, but his average annual value is 70.
Yeah. What is happening with Pittsburgh is that you're having a failure of the fans, and the fans are finally sick of it. You have got, whether that is retaining players, building a roster, and this, the crazy thing is, this guy think Bob Nutting thinks he's doing a great job as the owner there. Because he just surrounds himself with a bunch of yes men.
Yeah.
You add on top of that, that they're just sitting there looking at Paul Skeens going, there's no way he's going to be here in 4 years. When he's up for free agency, there's no way this guy is re-signing with this ball club. Because one, our owner doesn't give out that kind of money. And two, why would he be there for a losing ball club?
And if you look at the Pirates over the last 10 years, last 15 years, it's not like they've been short on talent. You mentioned Garrett Cole. You remember MVP Andrew McCutchen?
Yeah.
Like, they have had dudes in that ballpark. And look, as a Cardinals fan, I see a Pirates series on the schedule, I'm going, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, because I know that they're not going to pay anyone else other than their homegrown talent. And even and then, they don't pay them once they come up for their contracts.
It's crazy. It is. But then you say, all right, PNC Park is one of the best ballparks by all accounts in all of baseball.
It's one of the best stadiums in sports. The view alone is incredible.
There's something that has been going on there that now all of the fans have turned. Because you know how like you can buy a brick thing where you put your name on a brick?
Yeah.
Do all that kind of stuff? Apparently the Pirates repaved a sidewalk where they ripped up a bunch of those bricks that people paid for. Paid handsomely for, did not tell them about, and then just took them to the dump. And yeah.
And this is on top of pulling Roberto Clemente's number
yep.
off of the outfield wall for a freaking advertisement because somebody in sales is so stupid that they thought, oh, I can sell that ad space. Not taking into account it's Roberto freaking Clemente.
So, I said, you better not.
So
you better not.
They called takebacks on the Roberto Clemente thing, and they've put that signage back up. With the brick thing, this is something that they did in Cleveland a couple of years ago, and they offered the bricks back to people. And they said, hey, look, we have our database. We had to remove these bricks, but if you want it, we're going to give it back to you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were like, hey, sucks that it's gone, but thank you.
But hey, I get a piece of this. Yeah.
They took them to the dump. And they...
And why is my brick wrapped in a dirty diaper?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. With it is a letdown at every single turn by the Pittsburgh Pirates organization to their fans. And watch this closely, because if you're Paul Skeens, do you at the deadline say, just get me out of here as fast as I can?
And then your moneymaker, the one that you have, is gone.
Done.
And this is what I talk about. Look, there's bad owners in sports, but God, the worst of them are just buried in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. And making it worse for that brick situation. Mm. A former sports writer in Pittsburgh, Joe Rutter, his father surprised him with a brick that said, Joe Rutter, Pirate sports writer, and then Joe's dad, Tom Rutter. Ripped it up, threw it away. So the sports writer's like, dude, wrote a big column like, hey, you could have just asked and I would have paid for that brick.
Yeah.
You guys could have made money on it. Like I would have bought that brick back. It meant something to me. And now that whole thing is gone. Instead, got rid of all of it. And Bob Nutting, man, he may be trying to his damnedest to vie for the worst owner in baseball with
Major League this thing.
John J. Fisher may be getting a run for his money because they are doing nothing right at every turn. And that sucks, man. Pirates uniforms are awesome. Their stadium is awesome. Because they've been bad, they've had so many great players come through there and then just go and star in other places. And it's because this guy, and look, broke owners, that's a thing.
Yeah.
That is a thing.
100%.
Because he is unwilling to invest in the right ways to this ball club. He's like, I'm just going to collect these checks instead of making more money when you win baseball games.
Which we've particularly in baseball, it's you print money. You don't lose money. When you're good and you invest in the team, you print money. Nobody's losing money.
Yeah. Brutal. Brutal. I feel for you. I feel for you. And oh, by the way, they have one of the worst records, 28th in wins since 2007 when he took control of the team.
God.
The teams that have the budget constraints like his, the Tampa Bay Rays, they have 1,520 wins. The Cleveland Guardians have 1,480 wins. They have 1,289.
Sheesh.
It's investing the right way. And when you get a guy who is valuable to your franchise, you keep him around, right? You build a culture. They have none there. They have none.
Nasty work.
Yep.
All right, coming up in hour number three, we talked about this a little bit, but I want to dive in this a little bit more. I did the Jack Ramsey's last night, and it was a question that kept coming up. Joe Dumars is officially taken over as the general manager of the New Orleans Pelicans, and it apparently sounds like it is going to be an edict from ownership to trade Zion Williamson. Should the Portland Trail Blazers kick the tires on Zion? Danny and Dusty, Diddy the Fan. Ooh.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.